Hello everyone and welcome to episode 103 of Report This Post, the podcast about bad posts and bad people. My name is Geiger and that is Christian.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
And we are your hosts with the posts. Every week, Christian and I select a different topic and then find horrible posts for your listening pleasure. And this week's topic is... what is it again?
9/11.
That's right. The 9th of November is Sorry.
I'm reading it in a European manner.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a very European. I'm worldly and I'm cosmopolitan.
Yeah, that's right.
And metropolitan, which is fitting
a kind
because,
of ice cream. Oh no, it's Neapolitan.
Oh my god. You thought Metropolitan was a type of ice cream? I think you're confusing it with the Superman ice cream because of Metropolis. Is that possible? Knowing your comic book or just not a bright guy, folks. But anyway, Metropolis is fitting because this week's topic took place in the metropolis of the real world, New York City. 9/11, folks, a day we'll always remember. There's some shenanigans went down in D.C. that day, too, if I recall correctly.
Shenanigans. That's
some muckery.
A little bit of tomfoolery, yeah. A
couple of boys messing about. Just causing trouble. But yeah, 9/11 is coming up this week, folks. The anniversary, I believe it's the 19th anniversary. Is that
That's
correct?
Right.
Does that sound
yep.
right?
Yep.
Yeah. And this topic isn't one that we chose. In fact, it was chosen by a listener. Dallas is his name. He went to reportthispost.storenv.com. And if you go there, as Dallas did, you will see a link where you can purchase an episode topic yourself. And would like to apologize to Dallas again for accidentally enabling shipping and handling on that.
That's my fault.
Yeah, we had to refund him because there was no shipping or handling involved. It's just an email where he asked if it was a good idea to request 9/11. And we told him, sure. But I guess we'll see how correct that assumption was after we do this episode.
Sure. Great.
Now, Christian, what's your memory of 9/11? We have a lot of listeners who probably weren't even born during then.
I was in, 10th grade social studies in second period, I believe. And
yeah.
It was the football coach was also our social studies teacher, and I believe he told everybody to shut the fuck up. He was turning the TV on. And that was about and that was probably the slow descent into complete desensitization throughout the rest of my adolescent into adulthood. So, yeah. Good times.
Slow descent, which unfortunately many people that fateful day couldn't experience due to flying directly into big, tall buildings. Or did they? Well, we're going to find out more about that in this episode. Myself, I think I had pretty much the exact same situation. I was in history, and the history teacher, who was also the football coach, broke the news to us. And then we had the principal come over the loudspeaker and do that whole, this is a day that will live in infamy. And then perhaps most notably that weekend was that NFL games were canceled and my dad was so fucking pissed off about it. Just furious at the idea that the NFL would Not even canceled. They just delayed the games. That's really what it, they still played all the games. They just not that weekend. And he was like, fuck, man. I just want to watch some goddamn football. And, yeah. And he's in heaven now with those 3,000 souls that perished that fateful day. Or did they? Well, I guess we're going to find out more about that.
It's a real will they, won't they situation, folks.
Yeah, and we will have the answer at the end of the episode. But before we get to the end, we have to get to the beginning. So, Christian, do you want to go ahead and get us started on these posts about 9/11?
I really do. I really do.
Wonderful.
So
something very touching and hopefully that honors our fallen folks.
Well, okay. I found a video on YouTube titled Commemorating 9/11 with My Little Pony is Totally Okay. Uploaded by user Midnight Sonnet. And it's a slideshow of various My Little Pony fan art paying tribute to those who were lost in 9/11. And it really is like truly abysmal, grim stuff.
Can imagine.
But here's the video description. I felt I needed to address this since it seems people are being discouraged from showing their support for 9/11 victims through My Little Pony fan art, blogs, fics, etc. Express your support however you please. So long as it's not harming anyone, it's against the law, and it isn't insensitive to the victims, your support is encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So YouTuber Shanna Wolf commented, as a retired volunteer firefighter and ambulance driver, thank you, Midnight. You nailed it. I remember seeing the planes hitting the towers in 2001 on television from the West Coast. The nation came together in our shock and sorrow. We need to remember Applejack, and for those out there, that's one of the ponies, is another perfect symbol of the heart and hands that serve. Those who run into where everyone else is panicked to get away from. That sees things no sane person should ever witness and whose only thought is to help who you can. Firefighters respect anyone who genuinely tries to express gratitude. It is not looked for, but for some, their efforts help them heal and their work say more than words ever express. Thank you, Midnight, for standing with the creators and the emergency service family.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, what a start. So they said they're a retired volunteer fighter and ambulance driver. Did that, were they also a volunteer ambulance driver? Because I don't know if that's allowed.
Just like, hey, toss me the keys.
Like pulling up, just like when you pull it alongside a big car accident, you like pop up in the back. Hey, come on, get in there. Come on, pal. Hop in.
Get you got your Subaru Baja, and you're just like tossing somebody in the bed of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you and your buddy do the classic, put the cart down, throw them on there, and carry them, and then they fall through the what's that thing called?
The gurney.
The gurney. That's right. Yeah, they just fall right through it onto the ground, and then they run around in circles, and then pick you up, throw you in the back of the Civic, and drive you to somewhere. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Not the hospital.
No. So Applejack, I'm curious why exactly Applejack is the perfect symbol of the heart and hands that serve.
What I know is that she's a cowboy.
Okay.
So I guess.
So that's an American.
I guess that.
Okay. A lot of, just like George W. Bush, who's the cowboy type.
The big hat and everything. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she also owns a Major League Baseball team as well. So yeah, that's right. Or is it minor league? What's he do?
He paints.
That's right.
So speaking of 9/11, someone on Reddit posted that within 10 minutes of the second tower being hit, and they were watching CNN, a gentleman on there said that Osama bin Laden did it. So pretty early on to say that. And user Alex Carson said this in response. This is just one of 1,000 anomalies that must be addressed and answered by a legitimate independent investigation of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And user Johnny Cash responded. It's a hell of a name to snag on Reddit, by the way. Only a bigoted, anti-Semitic, tinfoil, moonbat kook would want to waste taxpayers' money on what's already been decided. It was so obvious that the networks were able to peg Osama within 10 minutes of the attacks. How much clearer can you get?
Mm.
You brainless truthers and your UFO theories really are retarded. Thank God all you truthers are being put on a list so that traitors like you can be dealt with for endangering the troops by hating America and supporting the terrorists.
Nice. Wow.
And that received this response by user Thumperings. LOL, the irony is I guarantee the real Johnny Cash would be ashamed a moron like you would wear his moniker.
Yeah. So. How dare you beseech the man in black's good name, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently he would be a big-time truther.
Yeah, that's right.
Not sure.
Also liking that the guy, the Johnny Cash automatically goes to the Israel did it. Train of thought by saying the whole anti-Semitic tinfoil stuff. So that's good. So he's obviously had a couple go rounds in this arena before.
It's likely that there are some folks who who seem to think Israel was behind it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think we'll get to one of those posts much later on in the show from a source we all know and love. But in the meantime. Let's go to Christian for another post.
Great. So issue 326 of the Amazing Spider-Man comic was released December 1st, 2001. Mm-hmm. And it features a completely black cover with just the Amazing Spider-Man logo on it. And
that's the story, a lot of ink, huh?
Oh, yeah. A lot, and really picks up fingerprints, let me tell you. The story inside deals with Spider-Man and other superheroes reacting to the events of 9/11, and they're actually joined in their rescue efforts by a crew of some of Marvel's greatest supervillains as well. Mm. So the cover to this comic was shared to Our Spider-Man with the caption, 9/11, Never Forget. And Fizzreen commented, as sentimental this is, it's been pointed out many times that the villains shown here have a higher kill count than those who died on 9/11. Mm. These are people who are terrorists in many senses of the word are in fact more evil. I get it's about showing the creators as being sorrowful, but this just comes off as wrong. And I'd like to point out again that this is a comic book about made-up people. So.
That's right. It's these aren't real real villains. and so, like, would this guy's like preferred issue would have been Green Goblin is just like laughing and like as the towers crumbling, like just having a great time.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, he's like outside the window, the sickos thing. Yes. He's doing.
Is that what this guy would love? It's like, hey, it's canon. It makes sense. The characters, it's what they would do. It's been pointed out many times. What the fuck? Why? Yeah. Why
has it by been? This guy. No, that's the thing. By that guy. Yeah. Stinks.
Yeah.
P.U.
So a user Kiki Pie went to our conspiracy theories to share this idea.
Okay.
The Earth is hollow with a hole to the, quote, underworld, located in the Arctic regions, protected by the world's superpowers. Osama bin Laden is not dead and has not been dead for a long time, also is an invention of the American government.
Great.
User Jammin' Jalapeno responded, I'm going to take a wild guess here, but you have never finished a book in your life and have never held a job longer than a few months.
God damn.
this is from our conspiracy theories. Poor Kiki Pie. Some other subreddits that Kiki Pie is very active in are dreams, are karate, are occult, are psychic, are Krav Maga, are globe skepticism, and are Kiki Pie, which is his own subreddit where he just posts things for himself and that get no likes or. any votes at all. So
it's rough.
I like it. This guy's just like using this thing as a blog, basically. Which why not, right?
Sure. Yeah. Hey,
you might as well.
Yeah, you might as well. That's right. you gotta think it's really gotta take the wind out of your sails when you're on our conspiracy theories and put something like that up. Someone's just like shut the fuck up,
idiot. For saying what I feel like is kind of in the vein of the...
Sure. He immediately went over to his own subreddit and was like, Dear Diary, this guy was really nasty to me over on...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. what goes on at the globe skepticism? it's not just denying. It's just, you know, hey, look, we're asking questions about the shape of the Earth for some reason.
Yeah. It's a change my mind for flat earthers, I guess. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Grievy. Cool. All right. Well, over on Facebook, a gentleman of Middle Eastern descent made this status. In memory of 9/11, in memory of 9/11 victims, hashtag RIP, hashtag don't forget, which...
Don't
sure.
forget.
Sure. And another fella, another fella of the Caucasian variety commented, do you realize it sounds weird from a Muslim? Allahu Akbar. And one of the OP's friends replied, just because he's a Muslim doesn't mean he is not allowed to commemorate the lives of so many who died in a terrorist attack committed by some idiots who think that their wrong beliefs justify killing innocent people. To which the white guy responded, well said. Have a great weekend.
Oh, okay. just
like, yeah, you know what? Thanks. Yeah.
This is a guy who's just like, doesn't actually have opinions or anything. He's just like, wanted to make that comment. And then
just reacting. Yeah, just pure reacting. Base reaction.
Absolutely no, yeah, no ideology to anything. Just like, no, okay, great, well said. Well, bye. And doesn't ever think about anything political ever in his life. And he is so much happier than all of us. Probably never online. Just a lot of fishing and everything. It sounds fucking great.
You're just thinking about it. He's out there fishing. He's like laughing. He's like Allahu Akbar. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's pretty funny. So speaking of Facebook, a young woman went on there to share her thoughts. October 11th is, quote, National Coming Out Day. Mean fucking while we still do not have an official National 9/11 Day, just a day of remembrance. This is so sick. I just found out about this, quote, Coming Out Day. By gay, I mean this is by far the gayest shit our country has ever done. Yet we can't have a national day for 3,000 people who were viciously murdered? Screw your national coming out day. Push it a month back and make a real national day for September 11th. Rant over.
Great.
It seems she got September and October confused.
A little bit.
Also, a day of remembrance is National 9/11. I don't know what she means exactly.
Like, it's like... Why celebrate a bunch of people living their lives the way they want to when we could just spend a day like miserably thinking about a bunch of dead people? Like, what?
I don't know what a national 9/11 day would be besides a day of remembrance. Sales? Do you want? Is it like a day off work? Is that what it's probably?
What yeah, that's basically is, right? Yeah, that's what she wants. Yeah, nobody gets off work for National Coming Out Day, but if it was a remembrance day. They'd probably shut down the Piggly Wiggly or wherever the hell she works. So,
Boy, I had a rough Piggly Wiggly in Georgia. Real rough one. Good selection of meat, but yeah, rough.
rough atmosphere.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, it was a lot of folks like this there, that's for sure.
That's right. I found this article about Devo band member Jerry Casale.
Okay.
Devo co-founder, singer, and bassist Gerald Casale, 67, was married to Krista Knapp, 26, on Friday, September 11th, in a modest ceremony. But thanks to the 9/11-themed reception that followed, the response to the event has been anything but. On Monday morning, TMZ ran photos from Casale and Knapp's intimate reception at Michael's Restaurant in Santa Monica, showing the newlyweds cutting their wedding cake, which was shaped like the World Trade Center's Twin Towers with their faces drawn on it. Place settings featured an image of a box cutter with Gerald and Krista engraved on them, and guests actually got real box cutters as wedding favors, all of which provoked considerable criticism online. I apologize to anyone who's offended, Casale told Billboard, saying the theme was all a surprise to him and his bride. He said the media attention it received has ruined our wedding. Casale explained that the couple had gotten married on September 11th because the Beverly Hills courthouse is only open on Fridays, and that was the last Friday available before their marriage application expired. Sure. The wedding was just the two of them and a witness, and the reception was for about 20 of their closest friends. While Casail said some of his friends had commented on whether it was appropriate for them to get married on the 14-year anniversary of the September 11th attacks, calling it macabre, he would respond that he and Knapp are the twin towers of love.
Mm. Boy, oh boy. That's powerful. Well said, Jerry. So, okay, right off the bat, 67-year-old guy marrying a 26-year-old.
Yeah, not good.
You got, oh, it's bad. What I meant is that it's bad. Even as a bit, box cutters as wedding favors?
That stinks. That
what really the fuck? Stinks.
And the guy, I didn't really know that
somehow this was all a surprise to him as well. Someone just surprised him with box cutter with their names engraved on it, and which I feel like is, that doesn't seem like an easy thing to just get, you know, to go down to the local corner engraver and get done.
You take a whole box of box cutters down to like things remembered at the mall, and you're like, yeah, sure. Can I get this engraved? The guy's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Oh boy, yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I think it's pretty funny, but you kind of have to know that. But Devo's a wacky band, aren't they? Aren't they one of those
they
wacky
are.
Bands?
So, they are wacky. Yeah.
This was perhaps a tattoo wacky. Let me see if we got any good pictures of this. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There they are, smiling in front of Twin Tower cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is considerably younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, good for them. I'm sure they're. Hopefully they're still standing, and nothing forced them to collapse at very fast speed. This is from Reddit. Am I the asshole for making a 9/11 joke in front of someone who claimed to have lost a brother during it?
Mm.
Now, this happened several years ago in my junior year of high school. I made some sort of 9/11 joke, and the guy next to me called me out on it and said he didn't think it was funny because his brother died on 9/11. Now, this sort of thing is actually a running joke that people do. Responding to 9/11 jokes, all pretend serious, claiming that a close relative of theirs died. But this guy wasn't really the type to do that, and a friend of his was backing him up. Assuming his brother did die in 9/11, I'm kind of conflicted on this. Because on the one hand, obviously joking about the event where his brother died would understandably rub him the wrong way. But on the other hand, I feel like calling me out like that was unnecessary. I think most of us had joked about tragedies before. A little dark humor isn't a bad thing. It's just joking about it in front of someone affected that's bad. So I guess the question is, did I just get over lucky, unlucky, or am I the asshole for joking about this at all, or not confining it to a crowd who I knew wouldn't be hurt by it?
Oh.
So yeah, everyone called him an asshole.
Yep.
Of course. Yeah. A few people said it's no big deal. But what I find interesting is that he, in his own post, he acknowledged that, joking about it in front of someone that's affected is bad.
It is the amount of tact that some people lack is truly astounding. Like, it really is. Like, just like the flip flop. Now, to be fair, he does say that the guy's brother died on a 9/11.
That's true.
Not in 9/11. So, you know, if the kid got whacked in the head with like a straight golf ball, then, you know, then sure. But if he was actually, you know, at ground zero, then there's a different, you know, you gotta take a little, round the block there a little bit. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's tricky. But I really just, it's like, okay, obviously this is a running joke that people do. Like, is it? Is it?
It's a well-known bit, yeah. Sure.
Of course.
Now, to be fair, a number of comedians have put out there that they were involved in 9/11 and found out that they were actually not. So
Steve Renazzisi, I believe, is the most.
That is correct. Yeah,
the guy from The League.
Yeah,
the show. He just had this whole story about how he was there, and then a couple years later, he's like. No, I wasn't there at all. No.
Just kidding.
We almost lost Seth MacFarlane.
That's 9/11. Right.
Did you know that? We could have lost out on the worst seasons of The Family Guy. God, man, if he died in that, it really would have been like, my God, that guy was a genius, and we'll never get to see his work. And
this is why.
Yeah. I mean, it's we say the same with like Jimi Hendrix and people like that, but it's good that they died young. Hendrix will be playing like county fairs now, you know.
That's true. Speaking to him and like the one guy from Lynyrd Skynyrd that wasn't mm-hmm. on the plane and the rest yeah. of the guys. That mm-hmm. Okay, all right, great. So I found an insanely long thread on Twitter where a bunch of people with Superman avatars were arguing about an article that described Zack Snyder's Man of Steel as an apology letter for the Iraq War.
Mm, okay.
Insanely weird. Anyways, 200 some posts into this thread, a guy with the handle @neon_hammer commented, "Okay, finally read it. I'm really happy the writer was able to see himself in Snyder's Kahl, but honestly, I don't think much of it as a piece of writing. Snyder's films show that there may be one good immigrant, and that's enough. Kahl is good, but we need to watch out for the rest."
What?
To which @WWESean03 replied, "No. Dude, the movie shows how the world is intolerant towards immigrants due to what a few of them did. If Kryptonians were Muslim, then Zod and his crew are the ones who caused 9/11, while the rest, Superman, Jor-El, etc., are the ones who denounced the terrorists." @NeonHammer, "I agree with just about everything you're saying, despite you framing it like we disagree." To which WWE Sean 03 replied, "So you agree Snyder's movies are actively fighting Islamophobia?" Which Neon Hammer replied, "No, because he still creates an overall thesis that is against the outsider. The Justice League solely exists because Batman trusts Superman but knows other aliens could be trouble." To which WWE Sean 03 closed out the thread with, "No, he knows that something is coming to Earth that will be dangerous, not that all outsiders are terrorists." So,
I don't know what opinion anyone has on this. So, this is the point of the when you get way deep down into these long threads, where like no one is even sharing opinions about anything. They're just like total semantics about.
They're just going back and forth, and they're just like they're saying the same thing slightly different,
and they're like arguing with each other, even though they 100% agree, and they just have no way of because it's just too far into the thread. They can't.
Yeah, they just can't. They can't be the one to like to take the L and just be like, "Yeah, you're right." Like, thank you.
Yeah, they just have to keep saying no, no. That's not what I'm saying. Then they say the exact same thing. The other guy's like, "No, you're saying this," and it's the exact same thing. So just 40 back and forth with that. It turns out there's a lot of people online who have opinion about Zack Snyder. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've learned about that.
Yeah, I saw the last couple weeks especially. Yeah.
Some point down the line, I believe we will be doing a Zack Snyder episode.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, so look forward to that one. I don't even know where to start with that. Except
hey,
that I love
all
300.
I gotta say is if my kid killed themselves, I'd probably stop making movies.
Okay. Didn't know that about him, but I'm sure that'll provide some fun content later. Great. So a guy posted this on Facebook. Uh-huh. "All of the world tragedies starting from September 11 all happened because of me. Any smart conspiracy theorist ever wondered why all the world tragedies and intonations doesn't make any sense starting from September 11th? I got all the answers. Everything from September 11, Malaysia plane, Obama to Jeffrey Epstein and etc. Everything is linked. It all because of racism. I live in New York City and my next door neighbors are white supremacists. They wanted to show my family how well connected they are to friends at high places by causing all of the above activities. Hence my entire family betrayed me so that their life won't be ruined like mine. Coincidence Kobe's, quote, accidental helicopter crash happened just the day after my birthday? My dad's birthday is September 1, and Twin Towers crashed on September 11.
Oh, my God.
I have law enforcement always harass me because they are told to do so. I got arrested 4 times, all of which was a setup.
Okay.
My neighbors doesn't want me to live next to them, and they want me out from this neighborhood. My dad owned this house, and it is worth $3.4 to $4 million. My dad is going to sell this house so that I am forced to not live here anymore. My neighbor has some serious mental issue against colored people, and I'm East Indian. I seriously want to expose the people before they end up locking me up in prison or I somehow end up dead. And, here's the top response to that. People like you give conspiracy thinkers like us a bad name. You maybe need medical help, bro. Stay safe. Maybe try talking to a therapist. Rough to hear that from a conspiracy theorist.
It's really rough. I mean, now, granted, I mean, sure, he sounds crazy, but what if he's right? I mean,
yep. That's so much funnier than him being just crazy.
I know that's one of your things, your favorite things is like, what if one of these conspiracy guys is like 100% right?
Yeah, it's because this East Indian guy whose dad's birthday is 10 days before, which, and he, Kobe crashed a day after his birthday. So you can just see how much this all related.
There's a lot of ties in there. Yeah, I love the line. I love the line. My neighbors doesn't want me to live next to them. It's like, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not for the reason that that you think. Maybe, but yeah.
They're on the stoop enjoying a beer and then you just stare at them and talk about various ideas that you have that are perhaps a little out of the mainstream.
Well, that's good.
Good for him. I bet, it sounds kind of cool to be that narcissistic where literally everything is because of you and not even a joke. I just actually think so.
Every tragedy that's ever happened has been my fault. Let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, true, sir, this is a Wendy's situation right there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great. Okay. So, turns out that the 9/11 museum that was set up at the site of Ground Zero in New York City has a gift shop for some reason. And here's an article from ABC News about one of the gifts that was previously available for sale. The National September 11th Memorial Museum has pulled its controversial commemorative cheese platter from its shelves after an outcry at the museum's opening. The USA-shaped platter featured hearts over New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania, where the planes crashed on 9/11. The museum opened last week to mixed reactions from the public, many of whom praised the actual museum while criticizing the gift shop and restaurant that were built on the land once known as Ground Zero. Many likened it to having a gift shop at a cemetery, noting the many individuals who perished there. Once the public starts coming in, you learn so much, said Joe Daniels, president of the Memorial Foundation. We in no way presume to get everything right. We will accept that criticism, absolutely. The museum declined to comment on the change to ABC News, but pointed out that family members of the 9/11 victims are involved in helping to choose gift shop items.
Mm. Oh, boy. Just the very idea of a goddamn gift shop at Ground Zero is so,
so bad.
Like, how can you possibly do well, you know?
Yeah, I went to Ground Zero and all I got was this stupid t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so, no.
Yeah, and the phrase commemorative cheese platter is just...
It's so good, and it does have just three little hearts.
Like, I'm seeing it. I'm looking at it now. I'm like, I don't. This is some of the laziest design thing I've ever seen in my life. It's
absolutely
just a big white cutout of the United States. We're like an off white. I guess it's like cheese colored. I would say, and just three hearts, in the top right corner, where the attack supposedly happened. don't know who this is for.
Just whose family member was like going through like the fucking swag catalog that they ordered this stuff out of, and they're like, yeah, this is what I want to get for my to remember my fallen son or whatever that died. Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm looking at this is on ABC News article, and the little spammy ad banner they have, where it's like clickbait. It says, shows a very obviously photoshopped muscly woman and says she's the largest athlete in the world. That's
ABC News.
Yeah, that has been picked by the news algorithm to show to me because of things I like, apparently. So, not sure what that says about me. Now, last September, you may remember this, Apple tweeted out a link to their latest Apple event where they announced the latest wonderful consumer goods they intend to sell. And a woman named Cheryl Good responded with this: "I do love my Apple products, but personally, I think it's in poor taste to celebrate the release of a new product on 9/11. Mm. Apparently, those who said they'd never forget have." And I should note that both of these tweets were on September 10th. So don't just...
Cheryl's Apple products work so well, she's somehow a day ahead of everybody else. Good for her.
Oh, that's pretty good. God. Also, did Apple, are they notorious for saying they would never forget? Like, that's that's what she's sort of implying with the last sentence. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Seems unrelated. All right.
What a nut job. Okay. Well, speaking of stuff that got tweeted out a day or two after an event, over on Twitter, someone posted an image meme of the cars from Starsky and Hutch, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, the A-Team, and other assorted pop culture properties with the caption, "The keys are in the ignition. Which one are you taking?" And Senator Ted Cruz quote tweeted it and added, "DeLorean, travel back to 2000, buy tech stocks, fire lefty management, use as a force for good. Use billions to buy media companies and endow universities. Defend liberty and teach the principles of the American founding. And stop the lunacy of 2020. And buy all the other cool cars."
Damn, what a cool senator, huh?
Yeah, right?
This guy's badass. So,
someone in the replies pointed out that he would go back to the year 2000, but made no mention of stopping 9/11, to which someone else replied with this article: "Senator Ted Cruz's Twitter account for one historic moment liked a very explicit porn video from the account at Sexual Posts late Monday night, creating a firestorm of jokes online. In the two-minute hardcore video, a woman reportedly comes home and discovers a couple having sex on her living room couch and begins to masturbate. Early Tuesday, the Texas Senator spokeswoman, Catherine Frazier, addressed the senator's Twitter activity on her own account, noting that the offensive tweet posted on Ted Cruz's account earlier has been removed by staff and reported to Twitter." So this article was posted on September 12th, 2017, the day after the incident. So by using simple math, one would figure out that Ted Cruz was jacking off to MILF porn on Twitter on September 11th.
That's right.
So
never forget. I remember when that happened. It was a lot of fun. And I believe, yeah, I believe they blamed it on like
an intern staffer or something,
was running the account or whatever. Which is, first of all, the idea of liking sexual tweets is so just bad. Like just to be like, yeah, okay, yeah, that gets me hard. Like, I don't, it truly could have been an accident, which is funny as well.
It's funnier, yeah.
They're just accidentally browsing through, like, accidentally hardcore stumble milk upon the classic realistic scenario where a woman comes home and discovers strangers fucking on their couch and says, "All right, guess I'll rub one out to that," as any normal person would do in that situation, especially on 9/11. You know, you got to get stressed. It's a tough day. You know, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, Christian, perhaps you've seen the infamous picture of a firefighter who's running through a tunnel in New York City on that fateful day.
Sure.
And this was posted onto Reddit with this comment: "The last photo ever taken of firefighter Gary Box during 9/11. His remains were never identified. Quote, toxic masculinity at work." And should note, this is from our MGTOW.
MGTOW. MGTOW.
Midtown. Midtown. And top comment is never forget, which is, you know, good. People sure. uploaded that one. But the response to that was never forget about Building 7. So, yeah. No shocker that the...
you can't escape it.
You're going to have some conspiracy theorists on our MGTOW. That's some of the least surprising news ever, probably, I would imagine, to our wonderful listeners.
You can't escape it.
In fact, that response received more upvotes than the never forget one.
Never forget, yeah. So, so my thing with this is the toxic masculinity comment. Is he saying that is the in quotes toxic
yeah.
is because the guy is a fucking firefighter? Is that
what he's saying that this is what real men do, and women have the say when women are making when they're talking about toxic masculinity. What this guy is saying is this is what real masculinity is.
Okay,
and this is a hero which women will not appreciate because they hate men.
So. And also, he's buried under 4,000 pounds of rubble. But
yeah, he's crushed like a bug, folks.
Just gonna breeze over that. That's fine.
Yeah,
but these bitches. Yeah,
Gary Box, tough name, by the way. Gary Box. Guy's last name is literally pussy, and we're gonna say this guy's a masculine, huh?
seems kind of yeah. That's having the last name Box is a feminine trait. Great. Okay. User GFXGJ or JG posted in True Off My Chest, I'm fucking tired of hearing about 9/11.
Ooh.
Seriously, it's 18 years ago now. You've had your revenge on some innocent brown people, around 1 million of them to be exact. For what? Even more racial tensions now. Now the targets are just brown instead of black? Jesus fucking Christ, get over yourself. Yes, it was tragic, but move the fuck on with your lives. If you personally knew someone who died in 9/11, I'll give you some leeway. Of course, you're allowed to grieve. Of course you are. But everyone else, shut the fuck up about it and get on with your lives.
Uh-huh.
And 20 STFU Donnie commented, comedian Anthony Jeselnik says it perfectly when he's calling out thoughts and prayers. Basically, people are saying, in a very subconscious way, don't forget about me. That's what I take from these sort of tributes, especially on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, we started the episode talking about desensitization.
Yeah.
great example right there.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. 18 years ago isn't really that long, considering it was 3,000 people died in one day from a terrorist attack, right?
Yeah,
seems like a big deal.
One would think it would be a little bit, yeah.
And you know, a million innocent brown people. I think we could do more than that. You know,
you think that's a little? Yeah, you're looking to you want to up those numbers.
I think you got to at least go 10 times the 3,000. So
okay, what you think?
Well, speaking of Anthony Jeselnik and comedians that like to push the boundaries, are stand-up shots. It's a great resource for finding the worst jokes online from quote comedians. And 9/11 has always been a fun gag to joke about. So I went in there and I searched 9/11. I found some great bits. I'd like to share them with you.
Okay.
This is posted by Brennan Bush. 12 years ago today on 9/11, my dad pulled me out of class. One of my classmates was having a birthday party towards the end of the day, but my dad thought it would be better for me to be taken out of class. I'll never forget not getting a piece of that cake. Zach Reinert said this. I'm a pretty patriotic guy. Anytime anyone around me says, oh man, I forgot something, I'm like, it better not be 9/11. Technically a joke compared to the first one, I would say. And finally, this one's from Justin P. Drew, who posted this. Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Or as I explained it to my youngest siblings, our generation's Harambe.
Oh, man. Poopy caca.
So, which one's the best one there, would you say?
twit or twin.
Yeah. Twit or twin.
In all honesty, it's the it better not be 9/11 thing, because it's like the least, there's the least amount of setup to it.
You can say there's a punchline.
Yeah.
But it's also just not, not funny is the problem.
These are so bad. This reminds me of like when somebody makes like a gag tweet on purpose, like that's like bad, like then like everybody gets pissed off. But these guys are so proud of it that they spend 20 minutes photoshopping this shit over top of a picture of themselves to put online. And that's just, to me, is truly sick.
They came up with the joke. Then they had a picture of themselves from an open mic. And then they photoshopped the text of the joke over the picture. And then create an account. They're all with their real name, too. So this is like, this is their promotional comedian account that they're using on Reddit, and then posted this to the subreddit to a smattering of upvotes.
Yeah, just paltry numbers, I'm sure. Yeah,
pretty bad. We will be doing a stand-up comedy episode at some point, folks. It's in the works, and that's going to be a tough one. That's going to be real bad.
It's going to bring back some memories, huh?
Oh, okay. Man. There's going to be some real, real good stinkers in that one. I can't wait.
God. Well, let's lighten it up a little bit, shall we? Someone went to adisc.org, the forum for adult babies and diaper fetishists, to ask, do diapers show up on X-ray scanners? And X Plus Wearer commented, when I was doing tons more traveling in the 90s and 2000s, I was friends with the airport staff, whom were, before 9/11, the security screeners, too. And I was able to see the monitor they used for the X-ray machine. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that, yes, you can see plain as day the clear outlines of diapers on the monitor. In fact, Depends green-backed ones would actually show up quite vividly. And with the newer models, where they can do an almost 3D images, yes, they can see everything in your bags. I got red-faced when I saw the clear picture of everything in my bag.
I thought you meant the newer models of diapers at first, which is...
Yeah, the 2021.
Yeah.
Depends. However, if the airport received one of those one-time issue oddball scanners, all you would see is blocks, big blocks, and if there's anything that would set it off, would change the block to red, and that would set off a light to the screen to search that bag. What was terrible was right after 9/11, the secondary searched everyone at the gate and threw everything out of your bag for everyone to see on one of those big folding banquet tables. Talk about shameful. And Pongo and Purdy 15, which is great. I used to work at the airport. The security staff never batted an eyelid. If anything, made them do their job quicker. They don't tend to go near your nappy area. I usually wear a thin one going through and change into a large one before getting on the flight. Only time I had an issue was when I had a leg bag on hand to ensure that it was fully empty, as it is classed as a liquid. So, listeners, if you're out there and you have a piss bag strapped to your leg so that you can tinkle while you're on the plane, make sure that bad boy is completely empty before you go through the screening, or they are going to make you empty it, because that is a liquid that's classified as liquid.
Yeah. If you're worried about anyone touching your nappy area, god damn it. I just looked up Pongo and Purdy 15 on adisc.org. They're from the UK. Male, they're incontinent.
Okay.
They're straight, and their occupation is gardener, which I find to be fun.
And oh, man.
They're only following one person on here, and it's user Cookie Monster.
My buddy Cookie Monster from adis.org.
Yeah.
Boy, being a gardener and you're wearing a diaper all day, boy, talk about swamp ass, man. Jeez Louise. I guess, hey, you know what? They probably don't care. Don't care.
You know. I'm at Cookie Monster's page now, and there's the first thing on here is some girl named Isabella talking to him, saying, "I coach basketball for my high school team. You want to chat?"
Not good. And not good.
Cookie Monster says, "Can't right now. I'm going to bed early." And then Isabella says, "All right, catch you later." Don't know.
Don't know.
There's what. A lot, man. All right. It's when you go any of these forums, when you go beyond the public the crust, facing stuff, yeah. When you start to get deeper into just like the personal things, you're like, oh no, I need to. I really should
quickly get out of here. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of, went to my computer this morning to do my daily administrator duties over at stormfront.org and stumbled onto the 9/11 Truth sub forum. Lots of good threads on this guy. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of them. Here's one. Is Alex Jones hiding his power level about how woke he really is on 9/11?
Boy, oof.
Here's a thread. How many Jews died on 9/11? Was it 4 or 400? Jews just a front for the Illuminati? So that one's layered. You got Jews and Illuminati, and they're in cahoots with each other, apparently. This one's simple. Israel did it.
There we go. There we go.
Here's a thread titled, Do Not Forget Who Our Real Eternal Mortal Enemy Is. And I want you to take a wild guess who they came up with in that one. Here's one called Dinosaurs, A Jewish Lie? And Were Dinosaurs Dragons? And my absolute favorite, which I posted onto my personal Twitter account the other day, UFOs and Jews, which was a mini page thread in the 9/11 Truth sub forum. So, didn't click on any of these except for the one where I had to guess, because you know what? Sometimes the humor is just in enjoying it is, what it is. Could be going the, on.
Yep. Back there. Oh man. Oh man. did Jews make up dinosaurs? Also, are they dragons?
That's a separate. That's a separate side. Yeah.
You know, approach this a little. You're going real fast into this. You got to back it off a little bit. Oh my god. Oh. Okay. Woo. All right, so user something stupid posted in our historical what if. What if the Twin Towers hadn't collapsed on 9/11? As in, the attack still happened, but the buildings did not collapse. Alternatively, what if rather than collapsing vertically, they had toppled over, landing on surrounding buildings? And a guy with the username The Creepy Porn Lawyer replied... then a lot of people who jumped would be looking pretty stupid right now. Ugh. We may have not voted to go to war if there were sub 1,000 deaths. If they collapsed by toppling on surrounding buildings, the death count would at least triple and the financial cost would grow exponentially. However, this wouldn't make much of a difference beyond that. People were maxed out as far as shock and outrage, so I don't see it as having an effect on the war or politics. His answer got negative 16 points on there.
Fucking idiots jumping out of the building. I think the people that were jumping out were because they couldn't get out, they were above the fire and they were gonna die because it was burning, not because of the collapse thing. So
yeah, these guys, they're looking, they got some real egg on their face now.
Boy. Womp womp, that's what they're thinking right now, I bet. That's not surprised at all by that, but boy. I'm still looking at Cookie Monster's.
scrolling.
Cookie Monster reacted to Killer Panda's 3 posts in the thread, putting on a diaper just to poop like a toddler, with like. So he liked that thread. So he liked a thread called Diapers as a Security Blanket, which I would imagine applies to pretty much everyone on this. On this forum. All right, so let's get back to the. Sorry, I could really.
Totally.
Could spend
totally
a lot of time.
Engrossed.
Got a lot of wipes not wet enough. Ooh, brother, been there. Okay, so. Okay, so. So here's some. Here's some famous movie trivia about the 2002 Dana Carvey vehicle, The Master of Disguise, a movie where Carvey's character, Pistachio Disguisey, dresses up like a turtle to go to the Turtle Club to infiltrate for some reason. Never actually watched it. Here's the trivia. The scene at the Turtle Club happened to be filming on September 11, 2001. When word of the terrorist attacks reached the set, the cast and crew observed a moment of silence.
They didn't stop filming. They just
So Dana Carvey dressed as a turtle at the Turtle Club, holding hands with the cast and crew, observing a moment of silence before continuing on to film. Was probably the stupidest thing I've ever seen. That scene, absolutely horrifying. Pistachio Disguises.
You like that, right? That's good.
It's not a pun. It's not funny. It's, I don't know what it is. But
I'm laughing. I'm having a good time.
Well, after, you know, the pain of 9/11 cleared, you can laugh at these things. But speaking of movies, here's a list of some fun changes that were made to film as a result of 9/11.
Okay.
In a 2002 re-release of E.T. the Extraterrestrial, the dialogue, "You're not going as a terrorist," spoken by the mother, is replaced with, "You're not going as a hippie."
Okay. All right.
In the TV version of the 2000 film Meet the Parents that airs on ABC Family, the scene near the end in which Greg gets into an argument with the airline stewardess and his subsequent interrogation by an airline official removes all references to the fact that Greg mentioned the word bomb on the airplane.
Mm.
Which I think is a pretty crucial part of that scene. I'm not sure what they what they did with that. Just a guy just getting in an argument, and they thought that was enough. Okay. Early versions of the 2004 film The Incredibles features a scene where a frustrated Mr. Incredible vents his emotions on an abandoned building, but ends up accidentally damaging a neighboring building as well. This was considered too reminiscent of the World Trade Center collapse and is replaced with a scene where Mr. Incredible and Frozone rescued trapped civilians from a burning building. So they really flipped the whole intention of it.
They really did.
And finally, the 2000 film, an extremely goofy movie, features a scene in which Max and Goofy save Tank from a tall, burning, and collapsing replica of the logo for ESPN's X Games. This scene was cut after the attacks due to resemblance to the fire and collapse of each tower. So, boy, I would say 9/11 attacks were extremely goofy, in my opinion. I don't know if you get any goofier than that. Those boys just goofing off that day.
You gotta stop. You gotta stop.
You don't get any goofier than that, folks.
I checked out another list of with some films that removed depictions of the Twin Towers after the attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And included were Spider-Man,
uh-huh,
Mr. Deeds, and Stuart Little 2.
Oh, my God. Boy, that might be worse than all the TSA stuff that had that. But we had to endure a World Trade Center list Stuart Little 2.
Stuart Little 2, yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. So in 2012, the year after the attacks, Mark Wahlberg
did an
interview.
The year after the attacks?
What did I say? Oh, no, excuse me, 11 years after the attack.
You said 2012, which is not a thing.
I'm having a stroke. All right, rewind here.
Yes.
Back in 2012, yes, which is 11 years after the attacks.
That's right.
Mark Wahlberg did an interview with Men's Journal for their website, and at some point the conversation turned to 9/11, to which Mr. Wahlberg had this to say. "If I was on that plane with my kids, it wouldn't have went down like it did. There would have been a lot of blood in that first class cabin, and then me saying, okay, we're going to land somewhere safely. Don't worry." So, yes, 2 days after his interview appeared online, Marky Mark released this statement. "To speculate about a situation is ridiculous to begin with, and to suggest I would have done anything differently than the passengers on that plane was irresponsible. Mm-hmm. I deeply apologize to the family of the victims that my answer came off as insensitive. It was certainly not my intention." So,
yeah. To speculate about such a situation is ridiculous. I would have
gotten those people.
I would have saved so many lives. which the cowards on that plane couldn't do. Oh, this guy rocks.
The guy who's most recently starred in, I think, like two or three Transformer movies as like a mechanic. And he's like, I would 100% would have saved everybody involved.
I love when actors think they're actual
heroes,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And not in like a fun way like Arnold Schwarzenegger does, but like, I'm going to kill some fucking Muslims, bro. Kill some Muslims, well, okay.
To be fair, I believe... Didn't Mark Wahlberg like kill a guy by like beat a guy up to the point where he almost died? So
yes, he violently assaulted a Vietnamese man, I believe. I don't know if it was payback for the war or for 9/11. I don't know. Maybe he's got his things all crossed with that one. So
anybody that doesn't look like Mark Wahlberg, he's just locked in. He's ready to go.
Beat the shit out of you. Which yeah, and. You're right. He has actually put his feet where his words are. Okay, so this is from R High Strangeness, which is a subreddit dedicated to quote paranormal, UFOs, ancient cultures, Bigfoot, consciousness anomalies, animal mutilations, and other reports of weird and bizarre news, fringe science, and high strangeness. Animal mutilation sticks out for me there. Not sure why that's involved. This thread was started by user Ramagam. During the interrogation scene near the beginning of The Matrix, Neo's driver's license is shown to expire on September 11th, 2001.
Okay.
And here's a response by user MKUltra IntelliBaby. Hello. Much more is going on here. It has to do with numerical complements. 1999 is the mirrored complement of 1119, the year of founding of the Templar Order, whose mantle the Scottish Freemasons inherited. 9/11/01 is a direct complement if you drop the O, 9111. Soul Pies, who was obsessed with Columbine's Eric Harris, died 4/15/2019. The Columbine attack occurred 4/20/1999. Soul died same day as Notre Dame burned on 4/15/19. Notre Dame is directly in front of the island in Paris Jacques de Molay. The last Templar Grandmaster was executed on, burned at the stake in 1314. He took office 4/20/1292. In 999, Leif Erikson, son of Eric the Red, who came before Columbus, discovered the New World. The Templar Order was founded in 1119. At the same time, Notre Dame burned, the stables of Solomon in Jerusalem burned where the Templar HQ was. A few weeks before Notre Dame burned, another cathedral burned in the north of France. It was named Saint Sulpice. Folks, things are not as they seem. Sulpice's website displayed 1119 AD on the splash page. Hypothesis? Time travel through, quote, witchcraft is real. And the OP responded, interesting, thanks for the insight.
Yeah. So just like, I gotta get, and he got all of that from Neo's driver's license.
Yeah, apparently, because the Templar Order Illuminati wanted to drop 9/11 into the Matrix for some reason.
That stinks.
Makes a lot of sense,
boy.
To me.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. And that is a high strangeness. I'm going to have to remember that.
It's a good one. Yeah, there's some a lot of good conspiratorial nonsense in there. And I believe your next post has to do with several of the things we just talked about.
Conspiracy indeed, yeah. A guy named Neil Cormier posted in the Facebook group, 9/11 Fake Planes, Real Evidence and Truth. Mm-hmm. It's official. The last friend I would have never thought could defend the indefensible is a 9/11 denier. Why? Hmm? Why? And a guy named Mark Alexander Smith commented, isn't 9/11 denier what the quote-unquote Agent Smiths of the world call us? Like they call those who don't believe in quote-unquote global warming a climate change denier? To which Neil replied, yeah, I like to reverse the same terms they use for us on them.
Boom.
And that got one like.
Mic drop. Yeah. 9/11 denier? You don't think it happened at all? Is that what that?
So he's instead of calling himself a 9/11 truther, he's calling himself he's calling somebody that doesn't believe what he believes to be the truth a 9/11 denier.
Yeah.
So he's just like flipping the
pretty just, good burn. Just, yeah. Fake planes, real evidence and truth. Okay, yeah, that was I think we mentioned that in last week's teaser post about the whole CGI fake planes or whatever the hell, like
that's right, yeah.
So much easier just to use real planes and
obviously
the whole hologram CGI, all of it is so it's so much sillier. But that makes it more fun for posting about, so that's why these folks believe this stuff, because it's funny and interesting and passes the time, like we're all trying to do with our hobbies, folks. We just want to do something.
That's why they post it. That's right.
Just want to look at our phones and kill some time. So this one's from Reddit. Am I the asshole for posting a tribute of my late girlfriend onto Facebook who died during the 9/11 attacks? I lost my late girlfriend on 9/11 when the World Trade Centers collapsed. She was on the 67th floor. I had no calls or texts from her. All I hope is that her last moments were painless and fearless. This year, I suffered a near-death accident. After it, I did a lot of looking back on my life, and having lost family and friends in tragic ways, I decided to stop taking things for granted and began cherishing the people I am close with. So for this year, I posted a tribute for my late girlfriend onto my Facebook. It was just four pictures, one of her, two of us holding hands and hugging, and one of us in her office when she first got hired. I wasn't too over-romantic, but said, I'll always miss you, and you will always be a big part of who I am. I hope you are proud of me.
Oof.
A few hours later, my wife texted me, and she was furious. She asked if I loved her or if I wanted to get a divorce. She told me it was a slap her in the face to post my ex onto my Facebook. Of course I love my wife more than anything, and my intentions were not to harm her in any way, so I felt guilty and took down the post. Was I out of line here? Top comments was, you're not an asshole, but damn, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I gotta say the wife reacted in an unusual way, but also, feel free to pass it by her first before you post pictures of you hugging and an ex-girlfriend. Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I also like the I found this post too. And my favorite comment comes from an account am I. Well, she's also probably embarrassed because now everyone knows she's married to a moron. So that was my favorite.
Okay.
Take on the whole situation. Yeah, I just think it's, I mean,
fucking idiot.
It's gotta be weird. I
having
mean,
a girlfriend who died.
Well, I don't know, because I've seen people that I don't know. I've seen people that post like their previous spouse that died, and you gotta think there's like some weird like
it's an odd thing. Look, I mean, I think the wife should be ecstatic because she wouldn't have married this guy if 9/11 didn't happen. So
true.
That's
true.
The best way. That's the way she should handle it is thank God for 9/11 because I got my my wonderful hubby out of it. That sound good?
Yeah, that's right. Because otherwise he'd be with that other gal. That's right.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point. All right. So a Facebook page called In Memoriam September 11th posted this. Today is National Dog Day, and we're remembering the hero dogs of 9/11. More than 300 rescue dogs took part in the search, rescue, and recovery efforts at Ground Zero. And a lady named Jane Millen commented, I remember going back to work the week after 9/11. I had to take the ferry from Liberty Harbor to the ferry stop by Pier 11 down by the seaport. There was a cadaver dog with her handler waiting for the ferry. The handler let me pet the dog. He told me that he had to pretend to be dead so she could find him because she couldn't find any remains and she was getting very depressed. Never forget. That's a memory that lady just.
That's. Oh my God. That's incredible. Oh, that poor dog. couldn't find any remains. Just getting sad about it. Oh, that's awesome. That dog is dead now, probably, so
that's right. That's true. Most of them are.
I wonder how many do you think there were more dogs or Jews that died in 9/11? Anyway, speaking of, last year, John Stewart gave an impassioned speech to Congress about the importance of backing a bill that funded 9/11 first responders. And the bill passed 97-2. A video of Stewart's speech was posted to Our Conservative. Most comments were similar to this one by Kamala916. It's rather disappointing, no matter who you support politically, that we aren't doing everything for the first responders to 9/11. Really well said by Stewart. So, shocking to see that much people backing John Stewart on the R Conservative. However, user Thomas the Slav responded to that with this. Why is it the Fed's job to care for local fire and police officers? Now, before you freak out, I mean, think about this without an emotional outburst. This was downvoted a lot, as you could imagine. But here's one of the top responses. Because the main purpose of the government is to protect the inalienable rights of the people. One of those rights is the right to life. Therefore, the Fed should ensure that first responders are capable of doing their jobs in order to protect the people. Which received this response from Red Knight 2099. Isn't this an argument for Medicare for all?
Yes, it's... It is one of those the horseshoe theory kind of statements.
When you accidentally you support Bernie Sanders on Our Conservative. that's not what I meant. Yeah. That's pretty good. Where was Bernie Sanders on 9/11?
He is in one of the planes, I'm sure.
So you think there were planes. Okay.
Okay. This is a question posed on Quora. Has Harry Potter heard about 9/11? And Nicholas Patel, who studied magic at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, Slytherin House, worked as Auror at Magical Congress of the United States of America, 2004 to present, and has 136,000 content views on Quora alone, replied, I'm sure he has. The majority of the cursed child took place in the 21st century, and 9/11 was the biggest and only major terrorist attack on America. Many countries mourned for America. Buckingham Palace played the Star Spangled Banner in honor of America. Of course, this is more of a muggle issue, and unless there were a significant number of wizards in the building, I doubt the wizards, at least in the UK, gave it much thought. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if it was actually some anti-muggle attack led by a dark wizard. Mm. The American wizards, however, probably took this as a much more serious issue, especially if the incident was wizard-related. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice if...
Yeah. Osama's just a dark wizard. Well, if it's a theory that is not the most insane theory that you'll find online about 9/11, so...
That's right.
I really don't like that someone came up with this question. Like, I just wish it never occurred to anybody to ask it. And this guy who's... I've never heard of anyone who's like... popular on Quora. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently this guy is a big time player on there, huh?
Yeah, he really is.
I wonder if let's take a look at Nicholas Patel real quick. I want to see what other kind of great things he has here over on Quora, being such a popular fella. Yeah, I'm a nerd geek, and if I do say so myself, a pretty smart guy. I can help you with all your Harry Potter and computer questions. I'm in middle school, so I'm going through everything that comes along with that. Okay, so this is a child. In 500 years, will Harry Potter be taught as classic literature? Would Dr. Doom have been accepted to Hogwarts?
He is a master of the dark arts.
How would a conversation between Dumbledore and Yoda go? Okay, so I think we kind of got an idea for what this... Little dork is up to. I don't think middle schoolers should Should be online.
Should be online.
Yeah.
That's right.
Based on my own experience and shit like this, which will be humiliating to this kid someday, hopefully. And hopefully he forgets about it. Now, this is a this is from R Flying, which is a subreddit for pilots.
Cool.
And this was posted last year on 9/11. 9/11 was 17 years ago today. What was it like for you that day? User R Blue shared their experience. I wasn't a pilot, but it was a really nice day. Great weather, clear skies. I got the day off because terrorism, so I started running errands. Got some new tires on my car. Great.
You got, you know what? A man who makes the most of his time, you got to respect it. You know, like, he's a busy guy. So.
Just like strolling through the streets of New York, hands in pockets, whistling a tune. Like, all right, got the day off, yeah, baby.
Just the world's crashing down around you.
Screaming people covered in blood. And he's like, I think I'm going to get those tires taken care of.
You know what? I'm finally going to treat myself.
Just jiggling change in his hand, you know. Oh, just living a day, living the fucking life, man. Beautiful skies. Not a plane in sight for some reason.
Okay. User Naughty Lobster went to R No Stupid Questions to ask, could Spider-Man have stopped 9/11? And Jan Japan asked, how would Spider-Man stop an incoming plane, though? And Vile Toxie replied, he might be able to make a web between two buildings to hold it back. To which the OP responded, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Guy Murdergeller added, I seriously cannot tell if people in this topic are trolling you back or if they are extremely stupid. This right here is a quality topic. To which the OP replied, damn right, brother, this is a quality topic.
First of all, I want to note that this is the third time that Spider-Man has been mentioned during this episode. I don't know, and I will say it was from one person only on the pod. I don't know why. I'm not sure how that happened. A web between the two buildings, that was like one of the original teaser posters for that first Spider-Man movie, if I recall
correctly. It was indeed. Yep, and it was the Twin Towers. He had captured like a helicopter between them. So,
so whoops. Good. Yeah. So yeah, I guess would Spider-Man have stopped it though? That's the thing.
Spider-Man can't stop a plane. What's he gonna do?
I fucking apologize for even saying such a stupid fucking thing. I'm really sorry. Good God, you're actually offended by that question. So. This is our last post about 9/11. This one's from R Relationship Advice. The girl I lost my virginity to is a 9/11 conspiracy theorist. I've gotten to know this girl over the last 2 years of my undergrad. We've confided many of our most personal thoughts and feelings to each other and have become close, especially in the last few months when we've had to work on a semester-long project together with a few other friends. I found out that she had special feelings for me earlier this year, and she ended up being the one who took my virginity about a month ago.
Oh, boy.
She can be incredibly stubborn, brash, and immature to the point where she can be very difficult to deal with through reason. We differ on plenty of opinions. Despite this, even though we wouldn't work out in a relationship, I would want to remain friends with her. Fast forward to today. We were putting some of the finishing touches on our semester-long project and ended up spending nearly a full day working on it with me helping her polish up her work. We were chatting about random things throughout, but otherwise we're mostly there to concentrate and work. Towards the end of it, she brings up how her and her ex-boyfriend had a spirited discussion on the validity of the 9/11 attacks, with her believing that, quote, though there was an attack with many people dying, there were no planes involved, unquote.
Cool.
At first, I thought she may have been fucking with me, but then came to the realization that she was being serious. The discussion continued with her questioning my level of, quote, research in the topic. All the while, I'm wondering if I had lost my virginity to the equivalent of my crazy aunt who likes to rant on Facebook. Then she lays this on me. I'm not going to change my mind. There's nothing you could say that's going to make me change my mind, so forget about it. The way this hit my ear, I felt a little teed off and decided to pack up my things and leave our workspace for the day. So I'm a bit of a loss about where to go from here. We have a mutual friend, more her friend than mine, who was from New York City and was present for the attacks. Do I tell this friend or anyone else? Am I being too harsh on her? And here's a response from Beton the 50. George Bush did an end of story until he also did Katrina. So
okay. Great.
Touche. What a response, huh? Like George Bush did 9/11. He was like still in the middle of it. He's like, oh fuck, I gotta do Katrina now.
No rest for the weary, I guess. Just gotta keep on keeping on.
Oh, and how did he do Katrina? That one's it was a hurricane, if I recall correctly.
Very carefully.
Okay. So thanks everyone for listening to the 9/11 themed episode. And again, thanks to Dallas for buying the topic over at a report that's posted at storyenvy.com. And as you patrons are well aware, you can actually upgrade your patronage to, I believe, the admin level. And you can choose an episode topic yourself. It's all explained on the page. You know, just go over there, read it.
You chose it.
Look, yeah, but I don't remember. As everyone's aware, anything to do with the show, I forget almost instantly.
That's true.
Perhaps due to being almost always hammered while recording and finding posts and editing and doing anything during my day. So, but let's go ahead and do a quick preview for next week's episode.
Next week I'll report this post. Next week I'll report this post. Next week I'll report this post. More of the same old shit.
And Christian, what is the topic of next week's episode?
Mario.
It's a me to Mario. Oof. Was that?
Didn't even want to save that for the. You didn't want to save that for the. Okay.
I'll let you do that one next time. Okay. Mamma Mia, folks. Next week's episode is about Super Mario of the Super Mario Brothers franchise by the Nintendo video game company out of glorious Nippon. Should be a fun episode. Played a lot of Mario in my day. I'm sure you've dabbled as well, Christian.
Sure.
Okay. So let's go ahead and read a post previewing next week's episode. This is a thread from Reddit. I dreamed I was Super Mario and my wife thought I was having a nightmare. In the middle of the night one time, I dreamed I was Super Mario and I had my hammer and tried to throw it to hit a floating question block and I missed. In my dream, I started screaming, no! But I actually screamed in real life and woke my wife up, who started trying to calm me down, saying, it's okay, you're having a nightmare. I said, yeah, a nightmare. Too embarrassed to tell her about my dream. And then I tried to go back to sleep. Here's a response from Starbra. Seems like a bit of an overreaction to missing a question block. Was your last hammer or what? So really going into the important stuff there.
What the fuck?
So yeah, this guy is just dreaming he's Super Mario. Like, does that mean, like, are you first person doing the
you're going
platform
through the game.
Side, yeah. 2D side scrolling thing? Because that seems hard to picture, personally. Look, I think it's...
Also,
yeah.
When does Mario throw a hammer?
Does he throw a hammer at any point? I know there's the Hammer Brothers, right?
There's the Hammer Brothers, yeah.
Let me see. Super Mario. I'm trying to picture that. Throwing a hammer. Hammer throw badge. Maybe it's... Okay. Hammer suit?
Okay.
Does that sound familiar? I don't remember a hammer suit.
Sure.
Is this going to be one of those things where I realize that it happened a trillion times and just never happened? Oh, it's from Super Mario Bros. 3?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, I don't remember that at all. And
Nope.
Huh.
Cool. Well, it'll be a learning experience for everybody involved. Great.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't remember that. I played that game a lot. pretty annoyed by this latest information, folks. I think it means I'm getting old, is what that means. Unfortunately to say, you guys heard it here first. Finally getting old. I noticed the other day I'm having a bit of a bald spot develop, so we're riding out the years now, folks. Right to the grave. In the meantime, great. Christian, were there any posts this week that made you say...
This ain't it, if this shit sucks. Why'd you post this dread message? This ain't it, Chief. Kill yourself.
Yes, sir. I need to thank Baltimore / Foot Fetish Matt for bringing this one to my attention.
Okay, thank you, Maddie.
A lady named of Feminista Jones on Twitter tweeted this banger out. He likes this girl named Amber. She's a gamer. I'll never forget when he broke it to me that he is heterosexual. I was like, well, keep your options open, baby. You never know. He told me boys aren't emotionally competent enough for him to like them. My child, Asay.
What?
So this, yeah, this lady is tweeting how proud, or how, I don't know if it's proud is the right word, just tweeting out that her son came out to her as heterosexual and decided to post that up online. And to make it clear for everybody why somebody would do that, she has 915,000 tweets.
Whoa. That, oh my God. How was that even possible?
So that's almost a little over 800 more tweets than I have. 800,000 tweets.
Yikes.
Than I have,
excuse me. Yeah. When I, if I see like 50,000, I'm like, oh boy, get a goddamn life. 900,000. Holy shit.
That's pretty good.
I've heard of this. I feel like we've seen a post or two of her.
She has made her rounds on the show. Yeah,
even if you tweet that much, just on accident, there's going to be some really bad ones.
Statistically, yeah you're going to.
God, that's crazy. How do you just. Ugh. Yeah, that's someone who will die with their phone in their hand.
But at least her son will have the open mind that maybe he isn't heterosexual and he could. Good God, oh my. Can you imagine saying to your kid, like, you're sure you're straight? Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, like,
you want some schlong?
What the fuck?
Yeah. That kid is so happy when mom's just on the phone.
Not now, honey. Mommy's on our Twitter machine. Like,
very
okay,
good.
Thanks. Good.
Now, did we have any voicemails? For this ain't it, Chief, that were
dialed into the
phone number 904-468-POST?
We do indeed, yep. This is from a different Matt, so let me play this one for
Matt you. Heavy today.
Hey guys, love the show. My name is Matt. I was just scrolling on Instagram. AT&T has a woman who's in a lot of their advertisements who some people notice. She is rather voluptuous. Mm.
What's this account called?
I looked at the comment section.
It's the AT&T girl.
A post featuring this woman. And as you can imagine, it was a lot of disgusting, quite horrible posts. But one in particular caught my eye, so I'd like to share it. So this is by poster VA7FNK. There's a certain amount of respect I would love to obtain with this milk-chested maiden. This aspect of understanding and knowledge of each other. I would love to get to know her better in all ways in order to respect her more fully. Ways I can obtain this respect with the knowledge knowing you better physically, mentally, spiritually, and in all other aspects. We start with our physical aspects. Knowledge of each other physically can be accomplished in several ways. Perhaps a tactic of understanding can be done in photography in of our physical bodies. Perhaps we could exchange details, photographs of us physically in order to understand each other better in turn to set the stage for an even deeper, solid, and respected relationship. Anyway, so I looked at that and I said, this ain't it, Chief. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
And that was somebody just posting that to the the AT&T Instagram account.
boy. Not a wrong word said by that guy, though, honestly. She is a
milkmaid.
Hot number, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah, she's a hot one. But she just came out with an article a couple days ago. Please to online harassers to stop. So I can only imagine.
Please stop lusting after my gigantic milk cannons.
Yeah,
I'm sick of
big
it.
Big hot rack. Yeah, too bad. What an odd thing to be is that kind of celebrity. Just like a hot commercial person, you know? Yeah, like no one thinks you're talented or anything or like, funny. They're just, well, you're just hot. And she just wants to be an actress, I would imagine. Too bad.
But she's always going to be the masturbatory fantasy of a bunch of guys that saw her.
Well, just
20-second clip of her.
Let's wait 2 years, then she'll be worthless. This... this one was sent in by listener at Peck Jorkins. A guy named Sean Kelly tweeted this thread out. To all of you saying, Batman always fights corrupt cops. No, he does not. He fights corrupted cops. Outside forces like the mob or Two-Face or the Joker or whatever worm their way into the institutions. The inherent notion that there is some platonic ideal, some good version of the police force that Batman can help them get back to once the bad apples have been removed. There's huge swaths of the GCPD in those stories that are inherently good people who have become demoralized and decided to turn their heads away because the crime families and corrupt politicians have made it dangerous to stand up for themselves. Did the Riddler make those cops kneel on Floyd's neck? Did the Joker bribe those cops into killing Breonna Taylor? In the world of Batman, the only way stuff like this happens is when some outside force corrupts what the police are supposed to be doing. And this thread went on and on and on for dozens of tweets. Literally dozens. But I tuned out once I saw the Breonna Taylor being thrown in there for some reason.
Oh, boy. You guys really gotta stop just putting stuff together. Like, you gotta stop doing it. You can't keep doing this. I cannot allow this to continue to happen.
Yep.
Whew. Somewhere down the thread is gonna be somebody responding like, Batman's also a cop, ACAB.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's gotta happen. It's gotta be
and
in there.
And then, of course, Christian would start a thread talking, could Spider-Man have prevented Breonna Taylor from being killed?
Probably.
So I saw that thread and said, this ain't it, Chief. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in next week for more posts about Mario, right? That's what it was?
Yep.
Okay.
Super Mario. Yeah. It's-a me.
Okay. Thanks again, everybody. Bye.